Hey guys, it's so good to see you this morning. God has been so, so good. And I want to invite you to hold on to that orientation, right? It really is a question of an orientation to life. If you believe that God has been good to me, you're going to look for evidence to support that, right? You're going to look for a confirmation bias. And I want to invite you into it because the opposite is just as true. If you look around and you say, man, life just... And you have to embrace the, then what you're going to do is you're going to look for confirmation bias on all of that. Either way, it's a question of what you're looking for is what you're going to find. So with that in mind, here's where we're going. Jason just finished this incredible series through pastoral epistles, right? 2 Timothy, and just hearing from God, right? You know, hold on to the truth you've received. And we were talking about it, and we said, you know, maybe it would make sense as we get ready to go into the season, right? We get ready to go into the season. Halloween just finished. How many of you, as soon as the orange got put away, the red and green came out, yeah? I just want you to know, I am the tick on the Christmas dog. I'm just telling you. I love everything about it, but I won't lift a finger to make it happen. And that honestly puts it explains a little bit about my wife. If she ever looks tired to you somewhere between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you'll understand why. But Jason and I were talking, we said, what if we could find a way to have a series that would help people just sort of get ahead of the curve? You remember that time in the prophets when Elijah was just worn out and he's fed by the ravens and he says, you will go many days in the strength of this food. We were thinking, what if we could have a sermon series that we could go many days in the strength of that food, that we could kind of get a stalwart heart ahead of all the demands that are going to come between Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the rest. And so the place to turn anytime you want to find joy, anytime you want to reinforce your joy is the book of Philippians, right? The book of Philippians is the book of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. It's the book of joy. And so if we're going to search for joy, in fact, what I want to invite you into today is to actually fight for your joy. I remember a time a couple of years ago, honestly, I was having a trouble finding joy. And I'm looking around at my life and I'm praying, Lord, what happened? I've known joy and I do know joy. But somehow I'm having a hard time laying my hands on it right now. And I really felt like the Lord told me, he said, buddy, sometimes you have to fight for your joy. Sometimes you have to go hard after your joy. Because among other things that the enemy of your soul wants to steal and kill and destroy is your joy. In fact, I don't know, I'll just impress you now with my education a little bit. The word joy in Greek is the same place. It is a very close word with how the Holy Spirit is described at the most basic level. It's like, I want to fight for the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to fight for the fingerprints of God in my life. That's what I want to hold on to. That's what I want to search for. That's what I want to fight for. So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, I say it again, rejoice. There's something about that that says, get it again. Get it again. You've experienced it before. Don't let it slip through your fingers. And if somehow it has slipped through your fingers, it's time to get it back. And so that's the big idea. That's the big idea. The big hope is that somehow along the way we can help you prepare, whether it's emotionally or spiritually, that we can help you prepare for this run, this mad dash that goes before Thanksgiving and all the way to Christmas. In fact, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together, the Lord's table, communion, with that idea of you're going to go many days in the strength of this food. And the big idea, the reason this is significant, you may say, this is just holiday stuff, man. You could go preach this sermon in the front lobby at Target, you know? But here's the big idea. The big idea is that all these things, the meals, the family gatherings, the giving, all of it, on some level, it's kind of a dress rehearsal for the great feast of God. It's kind of a dress rehearsal, that thing that God has put in your heart that says, you know what? I long for life to be as it should be. I long to have times when the people that I genuinely love are gathered near, when we are at peace with one another, when we are enjoying one another, when we're not at odds with one another. And the generosity and the openness that comes with it, the images that we have in our minds, God's the one who put those there. It's not just something from a Hallmark movie. God is the one who put those images there, those longings there. And those big ideas are worth fighting for because they say something to my heart about who God is and how life is supposed to be. And with that in mind, here's the warning. The warning is this: anything that is spiritually significant, don't be surprised when it's spiritually opposed in your life. In other words, maybe the reason your turkey is dry and your dressing is burned, maybe it's spiritual warfare. No, it's probably your oven. You probably got a hot spot. Just call Dean. He'll get it all worked out. Anyway, but there's spiritual warfare that goes along with it. Because, in fact, you could look this up. I just Googled it, you know, holiday anxiety. I Googled it and it said, yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing. Now, granted, with AI, anything I can think of, it can tell me, yeah, that's a thing. But, I mean, it listed some things out, right? I mean, seasonal disorder, you know that. When the days get shorter and the clouds cover the sun, you know, short days, gray skies, it's tough. You're not getting enough vitamin D. Take some vitamin D, get some sunshine, get a lamp, you know, do something, right? Family disorder, social disorder, family tension, grief anniversaries. That's going to be a tough one, honestly. Grief anniversaries. For in my house, this is going to be the first holiday season where my mom and dad are reunited in heaven. And I'm glad for them. Somewhere along the way, there's probably going to be a little catch, right? I mean, it's there. The unspoken and unrealistic expectations that come up, whether the Thanksgiving gathering is going to be held at your house or at someone else's, there's this ideas of how it ought to be, how it's supposed to be, how it could be, and how you fear it might be, right? It's there. It's really there. Spiritual disorder, that creeping sense. And I see a lot of people give into this. A creeping sense that joy is for everybody else. And I'm just probably, you know, I'm just at a low tide right now, and it's not for me. Can I tell you something? That's a false agreement. That's a false agreement. God says, I came that you may have life. That's what Jesus said. Life to the full. But if you live in that agreement that says joy is for everybody else, but not for me, if you let yourself live there, then you become dangerously close to that place where you just sort of have this resignation of heart that says, I give up. Just not even gonna try anymore. Just not even gonna try. And it's at that point that the enemy wins. So I wanna invite you, in fact, let me just pray this over you right now, okay? Because I don't want to trigger you with the word disorder there. I mean, I'm not playing Dr. Phil on you or anything. When I say disorder, I'm not talking about some kind of a clinical diagnosis. When I say disorder there, I'm saying that our God is the God who brought order out of chaos in creation. And he is the God who will bring order out of disorder in your life. And I think we should invite him to. In fact, let me pray this over you right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, you who called us to love you with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you give us the strength for it? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you fill us with capacity in our lungs? And Father, that you would just give us the energy for this run that we have coming up to the holidays. Lord, in Jesus' name, that the tensions in our family and disappointments and all the strongholds, Father, in Jesus' name, would you silence the voice of the enemy in all of that? And Father, that creeping sense that it's just not gonna happen, Father, we come against that. I declare over my own life. We declare it over our own lives and families, Lord, that you are God and our hearts are set on you. So Father, meet us here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here's the deal. I mean, we could go with good advice, right? We could go with all sorts of really practical tips for how to manage the season, get more rest, live within your budget, right-size your expectations, fix your calendar. We could go with all of those pieces of good advice, but good advice becomes a substitute for actually getting down to what's under the surface. There's some substitutes for joy. And if you want to fight for joy, I would encourage you not to settle for substitutes. The kind of distraction that comes with an imitation joy. It is a multi-billion dollar industry that gets you to look for joy somewhere other than Jesus. All you got to do is pull up the app on your phone, right? It is a multi-billion, and look, here's the deal. It's on the bottom there. Happiness without roots. If you need that in order for you to have joy, then that's going to be a fragile thing. And then that's the next one, fragile joy, a circumstantial joy, a joy that says, if everybody who said they are going to show up actually shows up, it'll be joyful. But what if somebody ghosts us? If everybody comes and they behave themselves, it's going to be good. And yet we've got this one person in the family who never behaves themselves. So, you know, that's going to, you know, just torpedo the whole deal. Joy that needs everything to go right isn't joy. It's relief. And here's the deal. When the fragile joy begins to break and splinter, if it's really relief you're looking for, you might choose to find it somewhere else. Either in a bottle or a pill. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? We're talking below the surface. This is not just, you know, smiling, you know, whistle in the dark. This is look for the real thing, a resilient kind of joy, a forged joy, a joy that honestly comes when God begins to burn the other stuff away. Right? And put it through the refiner's process. You know, people say God won't give you more than you can handle, but that's a lie. That's a lie. God is very interested in taking you beyond what you've got the strength for, what you've got the perseverance for, what you've got the resilience for, so that he can bring you to the place that he can build up after you've broken down. So that forged joy, that's the kind of thing that God is at work to do in your life. And honestly, it's going to take choices on your part to enter into that forged joy, that formed joy. You're going to need to take a few times when you just stop and right size your moment. It takes practice. It takes effort. But it's the kind of thing that Paul talks about because honestly, when you come to the book of Philippians, this wasn't written at a resort on the Mediterranean. This was written from prison. Not the place you expect to find a letter full of joy, right? But Paul says, no, I want you to learn how to rejoice in all things. I want you to learn how to rejoice no matter the circumstances. I want you to let God form something in you that honestly only God can form in you, because ultimately it's forever joy that you're after. It's the kind of eternity that God has already set in your hearts. It's the kind of thing that you look for and you long for. And honestly, the reason that it's there in the first place is because that's how God made you. God put that in your heart in the first place, to long for that kind of grace gift, that kind of presence of God kind of joy that's not dependent on circumstances and it's not dependent on stuff. The kind of joy that isn't escaping the world, it's living now as if we're already living into heaven. already living into God's moment. So with all that in mind, I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 1, and I'm just going to start at the beginning and land in the verse that's behind me. This is Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they know that Paul's writing this from prison, so they might be a little surprised at the upbeat tone. He says, I thank my God every time I think about you, every time I remember you, every time you come to mind, it brings a smile. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Man, some of you guys, when you pull up in the parking lot, I just light up. You know, people say, oh, it's so cool that you stand out there in the parking lot, even on really cold days or really hot days or whatever. You know why it is? That's just me cashing in. That's just me cashing in, because when I see you drive up, I'm like, yay, they're here. And when you get out and you come up and you say, you always give me a hug. You know what? I'm not giving hugs, I'm getting hugs. I always thank my God every time I think of you because of this partnership in the gospel, because we are in this together, because there's something that unites our hearts. There's something that links us, that goes deeper than words and deeper than the moment. And Paul says, that's how I think about you when I think about you. I thank my God every time I remember you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And then this verse, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, that is one of my most frequently returned to verses when I'm talking to people that I love. Because it is so easy. It is so easy in the midst of the struggle to forget what God is up to in your life. This verse says, God is up to something in you. He began a good work in you, and he's not gonna leave you now. He who began this good work, he who wired you up this way, is not gonna leave you to just fall flat on your face. He who began this good work in you, Mindy told me this one time in her favorite, at least it used to be her favorite translation of scripture, it's called the Amplified Bible. It says, he who began a good work in you will perform it and perfect it and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. My personality is such that I have most projects in my life about 90% done. That's just how I roll, generally speaking. But good news, that's not how my God rolls. He who began this good work in you, he will complete it. He's not gonna leave you half done. He's not gonna leave you 80% done. He's not gonna take you this far and then you gotta go the rest of the way on your own. That's not how God rolls. Confident of this, that he who began this good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What does it have to say about the rush between Thanksgiving and Christmas? Well, I think it says this. I think it says this, that those family members that you're ready to give up on, God's not ready to give up on them. It says this, the hopes and dreams that you've tried to put on the back shelf, you know what? Dust those things off. Because those are the seeds that were planted that are gonna bear fruit in their time. People ask me sometimes, why does it take so long for the will of God to be accomplished in my life? And I tell them, if you wanna plant ryegrass, you'll get results pretty quick, but if you wanna plant oak trees, it's gonna take a while, right? God is creating in you this oaks of righteousness kind of life. The kind of life that's gonna put roots deep long before you see fruit at the tips of the trees, right? That's what God's at work to do. And then Paul goes on and he says this, he says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or I'm defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me, and God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And then he says this, here's how I'm praying for you. I love doing that. I love walking up to somebody that I care about and say, here's how I'm praying for you in this next season. here are the things I'm going to be asking God for in this next season with you. And I don't always stop and say, let's bow and pray. Sometimes I just look him in the eye and I say, here's what I'm asking God to do in your life. And what I'm looking for is an agreement from them to say, yeah, that's what I want too. That's what I'm after too. And so Paul says this, here's how I'm praying for you. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. In other words, that you not give up, that you not throw in the towel, that you not just sort of empty your heart. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. And the way I memorized it when I was a kid, it was in real knowledge and depth of insight. Real knowledge as opposed to conceptual knowledge. There are some things I know, but there are some things I know. You know? He says, I want your love to abound. I want you to grow in real knowledge, experiential knowledge, the kind of thing you can touch and taste and see and feel. I want you to grow in that. I want you to be convinced to your bones, real knowledge, depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. It may be that as you bring this verse to bear in your preparations from now until the end of the year and the beginning of the next, it may be that there are some things as God speaks to your heart that God may reveal to you, hey, this wasn't for me. This expectation you had over here, that's misplaced. Or this hope or desire, that one's misplaced. Let me give you a better hope than that. Discernment's a big deal. Discernment's a really big deal as you come into a season where your heart is at risk. Discernment to say, what is it that really matters? What is it that is worth the investment? What is it that's worth the effort, that's worth the energy, that's honestly worth the tears? And what is it that's just not? That your love may abound more and more, and discernment would be yours. What is best, so that you can be pure and blameless, so that you're the one who knows how to right-size things around the table, knows how to right-size things under the tree. You're the one who has the discernment to say, baby, it's gonna be all right. You're the one who has the presence of mind and the peace of mind to be that non-anxious presence that absorbs the conflict and takes in the anxiety. And just that line from Song of Solomon that says, I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. That you would be the one who can just wrap that banner over the people you care about. And he goes on, he says, that you may be pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness, that your life would have purpose. That this 6 or 8 week run, right, at the end of the year, would have purpose. Do you ever look around at some of the stuff, some of the things that you pour money and energy and time and effort into, knowing that you're gonna just be taking it back down in a few weeks and putting it back away? And griping about the bulbs that burned out when you pull it out again next time? No, that you would have discernment, that you would have purpose, that you would have fruit of righteousness, a purpose and a fulfillment that comes through Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that they don't leave your house after Thanksgiving dinner saying Martha Stewart couldn't have done it better. But you leave that holiday gathering and everybody who was there has a fresh encounter with God. That you've created an environment where people could taste and see that God is good. Where people that you love, that you long for, would come away saying, you know what? I dreaded it going in, but I want more of it coming out. A fruit of righteousness through Jesus to the glory of God, because the same God who is at work in you is at work in the people you love. Yeah? So this series, as Jason and I were talking through it, this series is not so much about teaching you the book of Philippians. This series is more about leaning into Philippians to find some joy, to fight for some joy, to right-size things in your heart so that you can go many days in the strength of this food. So I want to invite you into an evaluation on the inside, right? Because now's the time, right? Some of you, bless your heart, some of you have already got all your Christmas presents bought. Bless your heart. Some of you have already got that going. And you know what? Praise God for that. Again, I'm the tick on the Christmas dog. More power to you. Bring some to my house. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, but there are a lot of people who go through the holidays and they've got this great sort of Christmas card expression of peace and love and joy. But it's like the old joke about the duck who looks so tranquil, but underneath he's pedaling like crazy, right? And we want to invite you into, what would it be like if you could rest into that? So I want to ask you, as you approach this, how's it going with your heart? How's it going with your heart? Are there some things that you've been hiding your heart behind for protection? How's it going with your heart in this season as you're moving forward into it? Because here's the deal. I don't know if you've ever gone river rafting, but when you hear the noise in the distance and the current starts picking up, you either get out or hold on, because one way or another, you're going forward. You know, the calendar's going forward whether you're ready or not. So how's it going with your heart? Are you holding on? Is your heart, have you set your heart on Jesus? If not, now's the time. Now's the time with a heart that says, Jesus, I want to go. I want to be right with you. I need you. I need you. I know how it's been in the past. God, I want everything you have for me. How's it going with your heart? How's it going in your soul? How's it going in your soul? Maybe just like this precious baptism here. Maybe you say, you know what? I asked Jesus in my heart years ago, but I'm pretty far from my heart right now, and things in my soul. I know, you know, if I got hit by a bus, I know that I would go to heaven, but honestly, I'm living my life pretty far from a right now relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, precious ones, I would encourage you right now today to nail that down. If you're aware of some drift that has happened between your heart and the heart of God, crank up the motorboat and get back to it. You know, if you're aware of a distance that has crept in to your relationship, God didn't move, you did. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. How's it going in your soul? How's it going in the battlefield of your mind? Those expectations and the craziness that goes along with it. How's it going in the battlefield of your mind? And maybe it's a time where you would want to pray, and we got people who will pray with you. Maybe it's time for you to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you quiet all the voices in my mind and the expectations and the demands that I don't even know if they're from you. I don't even know if they're from me. Would you help me with that? How's it going? How's it going in the battlefield of your mind? And, you know, even just the very surface level of how's it going in your strength, you know? Maybe honestly, your prayer right now is, Lord, if I could get a job in place now, maybe Christmas could be saved. But if something doesn't change in my finances, this is going to be a tough one. How's it going in your strength? How's it going in your physical body? This morning when you got up and opened the door, you may have had that rude awakening of just how bad your knees hurt. And let me tell you something. It's hard to be joyful and dance with Frosty if your knees are hurting, right? Maybe it's a time to just pray, God, in Jesus' name, would you help me? Just help me. How's it going? How's it going? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Brittany's going to come up and she's going to lead us with some sort of, she's going to grease the wheels of your coming to the altar. That's what the music is for. It's to give you sort of a draw to the altar. And you say, well, I'm not really a come to the altar kind of guy. Well, how's that working for you? You know, if you're wondering, why am I not getting more out of my walk with Christ? Maybe you need to become a come to the altar guy. Maybe you're, hey, I'm not really one to ask other people to pray for me. Okay, how's that working for you? Maybe you would do well if there was somebody who loved you enough to listen to your story and cared enough to intercede for you and to call on the Lord on your behalf. So anyway, questions like this, questions like, God, is there something you want to say to me as we go into this season? God, is there something you want to speak to me about? Will you just bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute? And maybe, because maybe you're like, God doesn't really speak to me. Well, here's what I believe. I believe God is always speaking. I'm just not always listening. And if I could reorient my heart, if I could reorient my mind, and I could say, Lord, I want to hear from you. And if there's something you want to say, God, I just want you to know I'm listening. God, what do you want to say to me? God, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to realize? What's going to make this different going forward? God, what do you want me to see? God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to hold on to? What do you want me to anchor my heart to? God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do differently? What do you want me to, how do you want me to prepare myself for all that comes next? Would you stand up in that same spirit of prayer? And Father, in Jesus' name, Abba, Father, precious Father, Father, would you speak with kindness and with gentleness? Father, would you speak in ways that would not frighten my tired heart away, Lord, but that would invite my tired heart in? Father, would you speak to my brothers and to my sisters and to me? Father, what do you want to say? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to know? And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, precious ones, if your heart, you look around on the inside of your heart and you're saying, where is Jesus? Maybe today's your day to say, Jesus, come into my heart. I don't want to mess with your theology, but maybe today's the day for you to come back to Jesus. Jesus, come back into my heart. Jesus, fill my heart. Jesus, take your place on the throne of my heart. We'd love to pray into that with you. Maybe it's the time for listening. God, what do you want to say? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to know?